IVM.
As my fingers slowly touched the skin on my wrist, it was like Braille. Each one of those bumps told a story. Every scar was a tale of pain that I wished away with every cut. And though I felt relief at that time, I soon realized it wasn't going to solve my problems. I'm Zaira. School was a place of comfort and hurt. Sounds strange, but I'll explain. Comfort because of my friends, my best friends. Hurt because of everything else. I was good at studies, but not the best. I wasn't part of the popular group, but I wasn't an outcast. My teachers didn't love me, but they didn't hate me either. I was in a bracket many called average. The standard line I always heard was, "You have so much potential." But none of that bothered me because my friends were my biggest support. But it was when my comfort became my hurt. That is when it all began. I had two besties, Smithy and Aditi. Smith was small and petite. She got along with all the boys and played sports really well. Adi was tall, slim, and brainy. And I was the glue that held us all together. I was the funny one. I was about average height and I was fat. Well, I thought I was fat at that time. I was just a big built girl. Let's just say I was a little more well endowed than my friends. The three of us were inseparable. We'd spend ridiculous amounts of time together. Borderline unhealthy, I'm sure, but we never got sick of each other. These two girls were the best friendships I have ever had. They were my world. If any of us were feeling down, we would cheer each other up. Or if any of us felt lonely, we would come to each other's rescue. If someone said something nasty to any of us, we would say, "Screw them, you're gorgeous." It was our little support group. We were all in the same class, 7th standard. And when we finished that year, we promised each other that we would never ever let this friendship die. During the holidays, before we moved to 8th standard, Smiths went on holiday with her family. Adi, on the other hand, was caught up with many things. She was working with her mother's NGO, studying for the Maths Olympiad, looking after her baby brother. She didn't have much time to spend with me. I didn't really go out much. I stayed at home, reading or watching TV. My mom and dad were usually at work most of the day, and in the evening, they were too tired to do very much. I did feel lonely. I tried my best to keep in touch with Smiths. I even tried to hang out with Adi, but she was really busy. I couldn't wait to get back to school, just to return to how Smiths and Adi and I used to be. But yet, that's not how that year turned out to be. Though we were thrilled to see each other the first couple of weeks, Adi's life got so hectic. She was doing a whole bunch of extracurricular activities. Smith soon started hanging out with a bunch of new girls. And I was not able to work out why our trio was falling apart. Eventually, I spoke to Adi about it and she just said that, "It's not that bad. We'll all make time. We've been so busy. Don't you have any other friends?" I thought to myself, other friends? These were my best friends. Why couldn't I have them? It was difficult for me to adjust. Most people don't understand me the way Smiths and Adi did. I felt so lonely and misunderstood. I did try to hang out with Smiths a couple of times at lunch break, but any time I came near those new girls, they would just say mean things. I couldn't understand why everything was changing, why my best friends didn't like me anymore, and why I felt worse about myself because of it. I hated the way I looked. I felt fat and ugly. I felt like no one cared about me. I would cry alone in the girls' bathroom all the time. Yet, I tried my best to keep my spirits up. I was still that funny girl that everyone had a laugh with in class. I just kept that up. But it still didn't make me feel better because I missed what I had. I bottled how I felt so that no one could see the pain. And if I could hide the pain, no one would ask me about it. One day, I was cutting up some food for myself when the knife I was using slipped and I cut my finger by accident. As I rushed to the tap to put cold water on it, that feeling of pain and relief felt good. It was a strange feeling. After all these intense emotions that have been swirling in my mind, in this moment, I felt a sense of calm. I wanted that feeling again. I started pinching myself, that soft skin that's on the underside of your arm, right there. I would take a bit of skin between my nails and squeeze. At first, it hurt, but when I let go, that release instantly reflected in relief. I felt like I had a vent for all the thoughts that made me feel miserable. A couple of days later, I walked into my parents' bathroom to borrow some toothpaste and I saw my father's razor. I knew where he kept the blade, so I took one. He wouldn't know. I soon started cutting myself. Small little cuts that grew a little wider and bigger on my wrist and my thighs. It chilled me out. My mind would slow down, I would stop crying, and I felt better. You would think slicing a blade into your skin would cause pain, but it was just enough for me to feel alive. Then it started to become difficult for me to hide what I was doing. I soon started wearing longer sleeve t-shirts and shirts. I couldn't wear short shorts, and one day, this one deep cut on my thigh really started to hurt. I tried to clean it and wear band-aids, but it was so painful. Eventually, I wasn't sure what was wrong and I had to show someone. So when my mother came home, I told her that there was something I had to talk to her about. She looked at me quizzically and curiously. I said I got hurt on my legs and took my leggings off to show her. She saw all the tiny cuts and scars scored across my thighs. My eyes started welling up and I was so scared. My heart was beating outside my chest. My mother looked at my legs and looked up at me. My mother teared up and asked me if these marks were all the attempts I made to kill myself. She wanted me to understand that my life was precious and that my family loved me. I suddenly realized what she might have thought, and I reassured her that I never wanted to die. Yes, I was hurting myself, but I had no intention of taking my own life. I was only trying to make my pain easier to bear. She took my face in her hands and said, "Don't worry, we will go to the doctor tomorrow and get this fixed." And she hugged me. I sobbed my lungs out. All that pain that I had bottled up came spilling out. She held me tight till I had no more tears left to cry. The next day, my mother didn't take me to our usual family doctor. Instead, she took me to see a therapist. His name was Ryan. He was kind, understanding, and patient. After a few weeks, when I felt comfortable in sessions, I started to see myself better. I understood that when I felt emotional pain, the only thing I considered doing to make it stop was something physical. I was not suicidal. I didn't want to die. But I was self-harming. Eventually, I came to realize that cutting might stop the feeling for a while. But it was not solving my problems. I also realized that my behavior was leaving permanent reminders on my body. My therapist helped me like who I really was, and I was able to climb out of that hole I dug myself into. I still have to walk away from that hole to make a better life for myself, which I work on every day. I make sure that I don't bottle my feelings or my pain. I'm in 10th standard now, getting ready for my board exams, and you would think that this would be the most stressful time for me, but you know what? I am far better now than I was when this all began.
For more information about self-harm or other mental health issues, go to www.empowerminds.com. That's www.empowerminds.com. Or call 97028-0044. That's 97028-0044.